Bob is no stranger to Spearfish. For 17 years, Bob was the pastor at Rapid City Canyon Lake, and then he went up onto the district. He was the district superintendent for 3 years. He was actually the district superintendent that introduced me into Spearfish and is currently serving as lead pastor at Sioux Falls First. And so, Bob, it is a joy to welcome you here. Let's join in prayer. Gracious God, I want to ask your blessing on Bob, that you would open his mouth, open his mind, open and help him to share what needs to be shared. But Lord, we ask your blessing on each of us, that you would open our ears and our hearts to that which you have ready and waiting for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. It's good to see all of you again, some familiar faces. I've been in ministry now 38 years, and I think I was telling Janelle that I think I've preached here at least five times, and I came with the Dakota Wesleyan Choir one time, so that makes me a member, I think. You know what I mean? You come enough, you kind of get acquainted and know folks. And I was a graduate of Dakota Wesleyan, and I also served churches in Huron and Virgil, South Dakota. Anybody know where Virgil is? All right, we got some Virgil Heights. There we go. And I served in Canton, and then, as Scott said, I was in Rapid City, district superintendent, and now in Sioux Falls. It's just a pleasure. It's an honor to be invited by Scott to come and to share with you on, this is one of those most important days of when we consecrate. It's a consecration Sunday. We consecrate ourselves to God. One of my most favorite things in life is just probably right out there somewhere is a park bench. Anybody here like park benches? You know, aren't park benches great? You know, you're walking along and you just stop and you sit. Now, in my life, I've gone to a lot of places where I try to find the park bench. You know, it could be at the Grand Canyon, or it's been to World Disney World, or, you know, in a mall or wherever it might be. I love going to the park bench because guess what I like to do? I like to watch people. Anybody else here ever do that? See, you know, and you go and you observe and you watch people. And, you know, I'm kind of one of these weird guys that sit there and think, I wonder what they do for a living, or I wonder how their life is going. Or oftentimes I'll just be praying for these people. And it's kind of fun to watch people interact, you know, because sometimes you're like, woo, there must be a disagreement going on. I've had that happen in my life, you know. I mean, you know, it's just kind of fun to observe. And it's interesting in our scripture today that was read about Jesus and the disciples were in the temple. And there they were observing people putting their offerings into 13 boxes. Now, what's interesting, you think, you know, taking up the offering and doing our consecration Sunday is kind of an interesting piece. Think about this, that in the temple they had 13 different boxes for people to put their funds in. Now, the first two were what they call the temple tax, that every Jewish person had to, somewhere along the time in their year, to put it, a tax in one of those for last year or this year. The next four or so were for their contribution to have either their dove or an animal sacrifice. And so they had to help pay for the animal that they received in their family. The next group were on what they call sin offering. So if you have sinned in your life, you could come in and you'd put that offering in the sin basket or chest. And then you would go on. 9 through 12 was for the guilt. So if you were carrying any guilt, you would bring an offering for guilt. And the 13th one, the 13th chest, was a voluntary contribution. Now, when I was telling Paula about this, my wife, she said, boy, I don't know how many, you know, with all those other ones, who puts any left in the voluntary chest after that? It's amazing that a part of being in relationship with God is somehow recognizing that part of our journey of being a disciple or a follower of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, that moving towards spiritual maturity includes not only worship and prayer, and also times when we do service and mission. But really, it's completed by the offering of our gifts, our lives, back to God. That completes the cycle of spiritual maturity. And interesting enough, Jesus, as he's watching these people, he's observing, he's sitting on his park bench, watching the people drop their offerings in, and he pulls the disciples aside and he says to them, "You see that lady over there? She put in everything that she had." What he was pointing out was that she had complete trust in God. Now, I don't think God is asking all of us in this room to turn over everything that we have. However, there is something to be said about being spiritually mature people who recognize that generosity, or giving back to God, is truly an important part of our Christian journey. Generosity is the place where we give of ourselves, not only in giving of money, but it might be hospitality. Who were all the persons that were greeting people as you were coming in? Raise your hand. So there's a few folks that were greeting. Wasn't it nice to be greeted as you come in? That's called hospitality. People are genuinely glad that you're here. Another way is emotional and relational support. Do you know what it means to be there for someone? You know, do you have a friend that if you call them at 3 a.m, would they show up? That is generosity. That is generosity. Or, you know, I have a good friend that always seems to give me the right gift. You know, they just kind of heard my story and know I'm interested in something, and they always give me the right gift. And I'm like, how do you know that? It's a spirit of generosity. You see, generosity is not financial. It's spiritual. Generosity is not financial. It's spiritual. And when we think about this woman who came to make her offering in the chest, Jesus praises her because she shows that ultimate trust in God. And she lives a life of generosity. She trusts that God will take care of her. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying that the other folks who put their offerings in, they were bad people. He was saying that this is a great example of understanding the depth of generosity by giving ourselves completely away for others, in and through, because we have been given the spiritual gifts of offering and experiencing God's gift to us. Just as Scott told the children today, that gift, we are all gifts of God. And our only response is to say thank you and to live generous lives, to be generous people, to have generous souls, to have generous lives. Martha Berry ran a children's school for children who could in the 1880s in Georgia. Now, how this happened for her is she was about a 20-year-old, and she noticed all these children didn't know Bible stories. And she just couldn't believe that there were children in this world that didn't know any Bible stories. And so she took it upon herself to take these children and bring them to Sunday school. And pretty soon she figured out that they needed more than just the learning of the Bible stories, and so she began this school. Now, she would travel all over to raise funds for her school. And on one particular occasion, she wrote a letter and eventually got to meet Henry Ford. Now, at that time, Henry Ford was the world's wealthiest person. I mean, he's the Bill Gates of the world at that time. And so she went up to him and said, "Could you give me $1 million for my school?" Now, think about that. We're talking about the 1900s. She goes up to Henry Ford, the richest guy in the world, and just asks him for $1 million for her school. And, of course, he looks at her and says, "Well, who are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm Martha Berry, and I run this school." And, you know, you got to imagine that he gets requests all the time. And so he was kind of taken aback by her asking for $1 million. And so he gave her a dime. Said, "Take it. This is what I'll give you today." And she graciously received it and went back home. And you know what she did with it? She went and bought peanuts. And she had the boys at the school plant the peanuts. And the harvest was great. They made $1,500, which was a lot of money at that time. And then later, they had a second crop, and they were able to buy a piano for the school, for the music department. So then she wrote a letter to Henry Ford telling them what happened to his dime. And you know what he did? He wrote her back and said, you get on the train, you come up here, and I'm going to give you $1 million. Doesn't seem possible, does it? From a dime. But she graciously received it and experienced and offered generosity and showed how God's widow's mite can really make a difference in the lives of children, the lives of people. You see, the gift of generosity is not about the money. It's about our spiritual relationship with God. And secondly, it's what God calls us, wants to help us be. God wants us to have a generous heart. A heart that's full of generosity for others, as we said, with words of encouragement, with hospitality, with guiding and encouraging people, with gifts. There are many ways for us to show that we have a generous heart. And God helps us to experience that and be generous people. Because, you know, the words of encouragement are critical today, aren't they? I mean, people need to hear positive things about their lives. And guess what? God has given us the gift to be those positive people. To be people who give words of encouragement. Who offer those gifts of hospitality. Who will show up when someone's in need. You see, it's not just about the money. It's about how can I grow in my own generosity in my relationship with God. Of course, the very familiar John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. You see, God gives it all. God gives it all. God gives and shares and saves. That's the example for us in a growing and deeper relationship with God and one another. That everything that we have, God has given to us. And so we are called to not only be generous or a life of generosity, but maybe even be extravagantly generous. Now, have you ever looked up the word extravagant? It usually means foolishly throwing money away. What you did was extravagant. It was just totally unreasonable. It was crazy. You shouldn't have done that. And yet, if we really stop and think about it, God has been extravagantly generous with each of us in our lives. In the relationships we have formed, the people who taught us in Sunday school, the people who have encouraged us in our faith journey, the people who have been generous to you and to me. When we truly think about that, our only response is to be extravagantly generous as well. And sometimes that leads us into crazy places. One of the most exciting things I love to see in the fall is maple trees. When they have what they call those whirly, you know, have you ever seen those? The whirly pieces. And when they all fall off the maple tree at the same time, it's a sight to behold. Well, imagine each one of those seeds, instead of being maple trees in the future, are acts of generosity that we offer. Can you imagine in this room that this week, if each one of us did an act of generosity, maybe even two, how would that ripple effect change the town of Spearfish? How would it demonstrate to a world that we can be generous people? Generous not because it makes us look good, but generous because we have a generous God. What motivates us and moves us to be spiritually mature disciples of Jesus Christ is not only in our worship, not only in our prayer life, not only the study of the Scriptures, but how we offer the very best of our lives back to God. To be people who have generous hearts, generous spirits, and who might even challenge ourselves sometimes and wrestle with God in saying, how can I be extravagantly generous like the widow? He was a grandfather, and it was the day of his grandson's baptism. In this particular church, there were two children being baptized that day. The pastor did the baptisms, and afterwards, the two families gathered up front, and they were taking pictures, and they were helping each other out. And the mother of the boy, not his grandson, offered her son and said, "I need to get something out of the diaper bag. Can you hold on to Tim?" And this longtime member of the church, 40 years, graciously, you know, took up this child. And, you know, people were kind of commenting to him on, "Wow, look at that." And he said, "Well, now this isn't my grandson. This isn't my grandson. My grandson's over there, but I'm just kind of watching this little Tim for his mom." He said the next day, and he couldn't sleep at all that night. And the next day he called the pastor and said, "I need to come and visit with you today." So he came in and he said, "You know, I've been feeling guilty about saying, when I was telling people that Tim wasn't my grandson. Because in reality, in a church community, they're all my grandchildren. They're children of God, and I want to participate and remember those children. And so I'm going to leave a portion of my estate to the church so that my grandchildren will come to know God in the faith. That I can claim them all." Isn't that a wonderful picture of generosity? Generosity that says, that extravagant generosity that says we grow in faith as a community of faith. And the act that we're going to make of consecration later on is a commitment to that. A commitment to generosity, not only for my own family, but for the families yet to come, for the people who will come yet in life to the Spearfish United Methodist Church. You see, my friends, the gift and the power of generosity has already been demonstrated to us by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. And not only that, God doesn't condemn us. But God wants to save us. And a place where we can truly incorporate the power of being God's children in the world is being people who cultivate a heart of generosity. May it be emotional, relational support, words of encouragement, a gift that we give to someone, or in the act that we're going to do here in a little bit. It all is to the glory of God. So I pray that God would stir in each of our souls, that as we wrestle with God, we will realize that God has been generous to us. And out of that great generosity of God, that we too would live a life of generosity. Not only generosity, but extravagant generosity. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the power of your word, for the power of your gift of Jesus Christ to us, for the reminder that just as you are generous, we too can be generous in so many ways that can change a life, change a church, change a world. In this holy moment, when we offer our gifts back to you, we pray that you would stir in our souls the gift of gratitude and generosity. And that this week we would see two ways that we could represent you in our world. Help us to have generous hearts, generous spirits, and generous lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Today is Consecration Sunday, and If you're a guest or visitor here with us today, this is something that we do as church people and people of faith, followers of disciples of Jesus Christ, is we make a consecration of our gifts for the coming year of 2018 so that we can do ministry as Spearfish United Methodist Church. So I'm going to invite the persons to hand the cards out. Those persons that are here, they're going to hand you a card, and we want to kind of go through this card so we can, in our act of worship today, in our act of consecration, offer the very gifts of our lives, the gifts that God has given us already, and we offer it and give it back to God. So we want to remind you that, as we said, generosity, the heart of generosity, is a, not only a gift from God, but is a way that we grow in our spiritual journey of being followers and disciples of Jesus. That spiritually, to be a spiritually mature Christian, as we said earlier, is including how do we offer our gifts back to God. So I want to make sure, does everybody get a card? Like I said, if you're a visitor guest, we don't require you to kind of turn something in. However, if you've been moved, we'll let you fill something out and turn it in. We are looking forward to a great lunch together. And I want to thank those who have been preparing that for us. So does everybody have a card now? Does everyone have one? Raise your hand if you haven't gotten a card yet, just so that we can make sure everybody's got covered. Okay? I know you've done this before, and so it's a good way to begin to see. So I'm just going to read this out to you. Take one step up for Christ and His church. In response to God's love and as a concrete expression of my faith and commitment to Christ and His church, I plan to take one step up in my giving. This might be a step up beyond tithing. If you're already a tither, maybe this is the year that you're extravagantly generous and you step up beyond tithing. You step up to tithing. Oftentimes I've encouraged people, test the tithe. Maybe do it for 3 months and see how things transpire in your life. Or step up toward tithing. I'm not yet a tither, but I'm moving towards that goal. And we hope that you are considering that today as well. My commitment is blank over per week. Now, there are also two other categories that if you would like to write those in, because some of you have already been faithful in your giving to the Parsonage Building Fund or the Dream Funds. So if you want to write those kind of in there and put an amount for the year, that would be helpful as well. And, of course, if you are making a step up, we'd love it for you to check. This represents an increase over last year. And then we invite you to put your name and your date and address and all that information because, again, this is your commitment. This is your saying yes to God and showing your gifts of generosity. So the way that the process will work is the band will probably be coming up here and playing a song. And as that's happening, we're going to have another prayer over the food. But we're also going to then invite you. As the music begins, we bring a sacrifice of praise, I think is the song we're going to be doing. We're just going to take a moment now, and we're going to invite you to fill out those cards. And we're going to pray over that, and then we'll invite you to come forward during that song, and then please return to your seats after that. And then we'll have instructions for lunch. But I'm going to pray for the lunch. We're going to pray over our gifts and our commitments. And so again, just a reminder, you're going to come forward during that time of singing and leave not only your card, but also bring your offering for the day and lay that here as your representation of your consecrating your worship of God. And then go back to your seats, and then we will share in a great lunch together. All right? So will you join me as we pray? Holy and loving God, we just thank you for the power of your presence in our lives, for the gift of your extravagant generosity. And today, as you have stirred in our souls, we offer the very best to you, We are thankful for the opportunities to give back to you, but also open our eyes and hearts and minds and spirits that we truly may be your generous people in our families as we relate to one another. To help us be generous people with people we work with or go to school with. To use the signs of your Spirit in our hearts and lives to offer generosity in so many forms and ways. To maybe even show up at 3 a.m. in the morning. But we offer all of this to you this day, O Lord. And today, as the community of faith here at Spearfish United Methodist Church, we just gather to give you praise and thanksgiving. And especially are grateful for the gift of this food and fellowship that we'll have together. We're grateful for those who provided this food for us today. We're thankful that you are in the midst, not only of our worship, but in the time of fellowship around this meal. So bless us this day. Continue to guide us with your Spirit, O God, that we may truly be extravagant, generous people here in Spearfish as your representatives to the world. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.